Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the Gospel of John. I preached John chapter 3 last Sunday morning, and I'm going to preach John in chapter 4, a good portion of it, this Sunday morning. The fact that we are who we are, and God can still use us, that's an amazing thing. It is. Man, I love the fact that God is good. He's good to me. He's good to you, and we get to serve him. Let me just get started in the message. Remember chapter 3? A Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin, I believe, he comes to Jesus by night, knows that he's of God, knows that this rabbi is something special. This teacher is something special. And before he can even ask the question, Jesus answers the question. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he uses a very natural thing that we can all understand, natural birth. And he uses it and says, Nicodemus, you were born physically. You need to be born anew, anon, from above. You need to be born again, new birth, second birth. Except a man be born again, born a second time. He's talking about spiritually of the Holy Spirit. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Ye must be born again. He makes it very clear. He announces it. He explains it so they could all understand. And I said this in Sunday school, the blood of Christ makes me safe. The word of God makes me sure. This gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest message of all. And then he goes on and uses 25 of the greatest words ever written down. I know there are other words in the word of God, but this is so concise. And I believe that more people have been saved through John chapter 3 and verse 16 than any other individual passage of scripture. For God so loved the world. He talked about Moses taking the serpent and raising it up on a standard, and the message was, look and live and you won't die. And it says in verse 15, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's forever life. And I love that word, whosoever. And then here's the 25 words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The great quest of man, the great question, how do I get eternal life? How do I live forever? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then we go over to verse 36. If I'm not careful, I'll re-preach that whole passage. I love verse 36, so let me read it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I announced to you this morning, people that have been recently born again are still coming to church. Last Sunday morning, a man received Christ as a Savior. He's here this morning. I'm thankful for that. That is the power of God, the power of a changed life. So there's something on the inside. Everybody that gets born again says, man, I want something else. I want something more. I want to get closer to Jesus than I've ever been. And before I start this morning's message, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You'll find your every need met in Christ. Stand with me for a quick moment, chapter 4, and allow me to read verses 1, 2, and 3. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. And by the way, if baptism was the way of salvation, Jesus would have been baptizing. But it is not. Verse 3 says, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. I pray you'd help me to be a preacher of the scripture this morning, and God, that you would do a great work right here in our midst. I want to grow. These people want to understand. I pray you'd help me as I preach this on this last harvest, this message that we have, this gospel dynamite, Lord, that it would get a hold of us, and God, we would be going full steam ahead as a New Testament local church and reach as many people as we can until you come again. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. 68 years I've experienced Upper Springs. Well, that's not true. 4 years I was in Wisconsin while I was in college. But 64 years I've been up here, and I know what a false spring is. I know what it is to get spring fever. I held back this year, man. Not gonna happen. I don't care how warm it gets, how hot the sun gets, how bright the blue sky is. I don't care how many crows I hear calling. I'm not gonna get spring fever. You know what happened just before I left? I got spring fever. And then when I'm down there, I hear you got all kinds of snow, and I come back, and I don't want to disappoint you, but this is probably the only place that within reach in America where there's snow is right here, right where we are right now in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I will say this, though. In Chicago, one day it was like near 70, sunshine, beautiful. The next day, there was a tornado. The third day, there was rain, and then there was snow. So we had, in 4 days, we had it in Chicago. So don't think we're the only ones that suffer. We are not, but we're the ones where it piles up on, aren't we? You know, the Upper Spring will break your heart every time. Can I tell you this? Jesus will never break your heart. Amen. Jesus will never disappoint. So here we have John in chapter 4. I want to preach a little bit about this morning about gospel dynamite. Before I read anything, Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." It is the dunamis. It is the very power of God. That's the gospel message. Think about it. How a sinner man, a sinner woman can go to God's perfect heaven. It would take the power of God. It would take Calvary. It would take resurrection power. It would take an omnipotent God and a loving God that would be to have his justice satisfied in his only begotten son, because that's the only way Tim Rader could get there, because I could never satisfy the law. I could never satisfy the justice of God. And here, Jesus, in John in chapter 4, he's traveling the next day, and he makes it abundantly clear again, and he makes it abundantly clear that this gospel message is dynamite, and we've got to be sharing it at every turn. And this is the last harvest. I heard this week, I knew this, 8 out of 10 people do not go to church in the United States of America. 7 out of 10 people have no church, they don't even, by word, no church affiliation at all. You understand that? 7 out of 10 people don't even say, "Oh, I'm a Presbyterian," or "I'm a Methodist," or "You know," or "I'm a Catholic." 7 out of 10 people in these United States of America in which we live. You know what's more shocking than that? Out of the 100% of people that are born again, only 8% witness. 8%. And the harvest, the fields are white unto harvest. That's what Jesus is going to teach here. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees, they had taken note, Jesus is on the rise, they were suspicious, they were jealous, had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John," as qualified in verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. And this was a baptism to just identify with Christ. It isn't believer's baptism. "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee." Now, most Jews would avoid Samaria because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. He must needs go through Samaria. So for a reason, and the reason obviously was the woman at the well, all right? So he must needs go through Samaria. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well." And this well is about 100 feet deep. This well, there was a bucket there, a leather bucket, where they were able to draw water out of the well. And it was about, he's weary, Jesus is weary, and it's about the sixth hour. Now, that would be noon for the Jewish clock, But since the book of John is written to the Gentiles and directed to the Gentiles, very obviously this would be according to the Roman clock, which would be 6 o'clock at night, which makes sense because that's when they would come down to Jacob's well and they would draw water. And it's the end of the day and Jesus is weary. It's the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. A Samaritan woman, who the Jews have nothing to do with. Can I tell you this? And I remind you of this, those of you that know. Everybody on earth, the 8 billion people that live on this planet, they are a candidate for salvation. Amen. They are a candidate for the grace of God. And can I encourage you, don't give up on anybody. You say, oh, I've witnessed to them before. How many times did you hear the gospel before you got saved? Every soul on this earth, every single person is an eternal soul, and they're going to live somewhere forever. Even the Samaritan woman, and the Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans, but Jesus is there by design and is going to reach this woman. Verse 7. Then cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half-breeds, so they were looked down upon. They had their own temple. We're going to read about that in a moment. They didn't worship in Jerusalem. They weren't welcome in Jerusalem. So they had their own temple, and they rejected the Psalms, and they rejected the prophets, and they had the Pentateuch, and that's basically all they had. But know this, Jesus is not biased. He is not prejudiced. God above is not prejudiced. Our God above is not a racist. Amen. He is not. Our God above doesn't classify people and love rich people more than he loves poor people. That's not the God above. God, the Bible tells us in James and chapter 2, is not a respecter of persons. We're all eternal souls. Everybody is important to God. Everybody is going to live somewhere forever. Even the Samaritan woman, although she was shocked because the Jews did not treat the Samaritans well. And I don't know if she recognized Jesus by the Jews had a border on their garment, by his dress, or maybe by his accent, being from Galilee, but she knew he was not a Samaritan. Let's read on. They have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, 8 times in the New Testament, this gift is referred to. It's eternal life. Gift. It's grace. That's a gift. Nobody here has to pay for it. Jesus said, if you only knew, you only understood the gift of God, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked him, and he would have given thee living water, running water. Jacob's well was potable, but it wasn't water from a spring. Wasn't the same thing. And Jesus, using a play on words here, said, if you would ask, I would give you fresh spring water. I would give to you, this strikes home for you and for me, in the English-speaking language, living water. You'll never thirst again. If you knew how good God is, you'd get born again. You'd run to him. If you knew the things that God wants to do in your household and in your family, you would break down doors and gates to get close to Jesus. If you knew how good, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm. Psalm 31, 19. Turn there as quickly as you can. I got it already. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. He said, right in front of the whole world, if you'll fear me and if you'll love me, you'll serve me, I'll bless you right in front of the sons of men. God has so much good planned for you. If we just knew the goodness of God, we would never stray from him. We would never be that stupid sheep that's going off and doing his own thing along the way. And if you're not born again, if you knew what eternal life was all about, you would run to Jesus and how he could and would change your life. He said, I'll give you living water. And the woman saith unto him, verse 11, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. Remember, that well is deep. And the well is deep. From whence thou hast From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Now, Jesus is going to answer that question without answering it directly right now, but he's going to make it very obvious. And the answer to that, by the way, art thou greater than thy father David, our father Jacob? Yes, he's the Son of God. Yes, he is Christ. He's the deity, the divine, the very Son of God. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up, bubbling up into everlasting life. The water that I'm talking about, Jesus said, is free and forever. And it'll quench your thirsty soul. He said, man, I've got something for you. If you only understood the gospel is for everybody, and the gospel, it satisfies. If you're here today and you're not born again, you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, can I put it this way? Don't go to hell from Fundamental Baptist Church. You're hearing this morning that Jesus loves you and he went to the cross for you and he made a way for you to go to heaven. Don't go to hell from Fundamental Baptist Church. Now, she's going to inquire about this water. It's going to get some detail. There's going to be a little bit of doctrine here, and it's important we all understand this. Verse 15. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She said, master, I want that water. If that water can quench my thirst forever, I want that water. And that water will spring up. And how would that have made any kind of sense? Bubble up within your soul. You know how that happens? The Holy Spirit indwells you. The Holy Spirit nourishes you. The Holy Spirit quenches your thirst. The gospel of Jesus Christ satisfies. I don't need anything more than Jesus. I got him. I got everything that I need. I need to learn more about Jesus, and I need to grow in grace and become more like Jesus. But as far as the eternity, that question of eternity is concerned, and that born again thing is concerned, it is completed in Jesus Christ. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now, it's important you understand this next verse that we are going to read, verse 16 and the following verses. Let me explain something before we go any further. Getting born again is like taking a glass of cool water and just drinking it down. It's that easy. He said, I'm the living water. It's as easy as passing through a door. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the way to eternal life. You just simply walk through that door. You say, is that reality? Yes, it is. But there's another part to reality. It's the heart. And it must be prepared. You can only get born again when the Holy Spirit calls you. Amen. You don't get born again on your own terms. You don't get born again with your own idea of what salvation is or how it leads up to it. It's real simple. When the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and says, uses the word of God and teaches us that we're a sinner, uses the law and teaches us that we fall far short of the glory of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, the second half of that verse is, but that all should come to repentance. Let me talk about repentance for just a moment. And this is what Jesus is dealing with here. Repentance is not salvation. You could repent from now until when the cows go home, 6 days to Sunday, and never be born again. Repentance is a heart condition where you recognize, I'm lost. I can't do it. I have failed. I need redemption. I need a Savior. God, forgive me of my sin. It is a heart cry. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's that heart thing. It's speaking of the heart getting ready. You can't just say, wake up on a Monday morning all by yourself and not having the Holy Spirit convict you and say, I think I'll get saved today. That's not how it works. The Holy Spirit is going to call you. And you're going to get born again if you respond, if you repent. By responding to him correctly, you're repenting and saying, I am sorry. And it's a 180-degree turn. That is not your salvation. That's your heart. Now look what it says. You say, well, can you explain that? Jesus did. Let's read what he said. The woman said unto, and the woman answered and said, Jesus saith unto her, verse 16, go call thy husband and come hither. Now Jesus knew what her condition was. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. He got real personal with her. He said, lady, you're living in sin. I want you to take of this living water, but there needs to be some repentance. You need to recognize you can't get saved unless you know you're lost. You can't get born again unless you know you have a need to be born again. It's not a religious thing. It's a hard thing. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. That's Mount Gerizim. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. You know who to worship, but you don't know him, is what Jesus said. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's talking about born again experience being reality. Born again experience, there's honesty there. There's humility there. It's that heart thing, that condition of the heart where the preacher's preaching, you know what he's preaching is right. The soul winner's quoting verses to you. You know what they're quoting is right. It's ringing true in your heart. The Holy Spirit's saying, that's right. That's right. That's right. And now you need to receive our Savior. Receive Christ. Open your heart. Ask for forgiveness. That is being born again. You know you have need, you know you're wrong, you know you're fallen, you're broken, you're part of Adam's fallen and broken race, a son of Adam, a daughter of Adam, and you call out to God for salvation. You not only not have a husband now, the man you're living with is not your husband, and you've had five husbands before that. Her jaw dropped open. I perceive that thou art a prophet. I guess so. The son of God. And explain salvation. And look what it says here in verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, the promised one. Even the Samaritans knew that, which is called Christ. He's coming. When he has come, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I am he. I that speak unto thee am he. I am the one you're looking for. I am the great I am. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So they went out into the city and came unto him. Before I say anything more, the gospel is for everybody. The gospel satisfies. The gospel gives great security. Repentance is not part of the gospel. It's not part of salvation, but it is a condition of the heart and it is reality. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And again, I want to say this. You don't get born again on your own terms. Amen. You come to Christ and Christ alone, and he's the only Savior, and you recognize, in my hands, I bring nothing. I bring nothing. No ritual. No music, no candles, none of that. I come as a sinner, and I come to receive Christ as my Savior. And that gospel, it secures repentance. And your water pot won't matter anymore. A little phrase in that passage I just read, the portion I just read, that a lot of people just kind of gloss over. She hears the truth. It strikes a chord in her heart. This is the Messiah. She leaves her water pot. That's why she came down to the well. She leaves her water pot to run back into the city to tell the whole city, He's come. He's here. She becomes a missionary. It was Charles Spurgeon that said every Christian's either a missionary or they're an imposter. Man, your water pot won't matter anymore. Man, I don't know how you make a living, but it won't be the most important thing in your life. I don't know how many possessions you have, but they won't be the most important thing in your life. She left her water pot behind, and the water pot will not matter. It was an immediate service. Look at verse 35. Let me read on through. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Only a soul winner, only a servant of God knows what Jesus is talking about there. And then verse 35, this is big. This is the last harvest. It's big. This is the year 2025. We got a lot of lost people around us. I was in Chicago this last week and I'm just overwhelmed at how many people live in this world in which we live. We drove through the Chicago Skyway and man, as far as you can see people, 8.9 million people in the greater Chicago area. That's amazing. That's hard for me to comprehend. We're up here in little old UP and we got 38,000 people in Chippewa County. We've got, I think, around 54,000 in the Tri-County area and below the bridge. Man, that's a lot of lost people. Because everybody is important. Amen. We got a great harvest in front of us. Listen to what Jesus says. Let me set this last verse up. So the disciples are there. And he says, fellas, I want you to know the harvest. I have meat to eat that you know not of. I'm here by design. In the meantime, the Samaritan woman, ran up into the city, the village of Sychar, and told everybody, the Messiah has come. The promised one is here. He talked to me. I saw the Christ. He told me everything about my life. Boy, everybody, their ears pick up. You know, they want redemption. And so they come down out of the city and down at where Jacob's well is. It's down at the bottom of the hillside. And on the hillside, and they're all dressed, I am sure, I am confident of this, they're all dressed in their light apparel like everybody wears in the Middle East. And Jesus says to his disciples, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Lift up your eyes. Fellas, look. And up on the hillside, the city was coming to them. The fields are white. They're ripe. All ready to harvest. There are people all around us that need to get born again. Simple message this morning. You know what? The gospel, that was chapter 3. And then he actually illustrates the gospel by speaking to the woman at the well, unlikely person. Jews would have avoided the Samaritans. But he comes and tells her he has a gift. It's living water. It's forever life. All you got to do is repent of your sin and come to me. And you'll be born into the family of God. The disciples come back. She leaves her water pot, runs back up into the city. She's telling everybody. The disciples come and they get meat. And Jesus said, I've had my meat. So who brought meat? Who fed Jesus? He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He was talking about ministry. Only a soul winner, only a servant knows fully what Jesus is speaking of there. And he says, guys, turn around and look up on the hillside. Coming out of the city, hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people, glistening in the evening light, coming towards Jacob's well. Don't say there's 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Right now. Souls are thirsty. Right now, souls are dying. And we need to tell them of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.